Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Broken mics through an hour today, so I feel like that should be considered a small victory here. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the show. Pennzoil Performance, I'm Mike Golic Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star Chinay Agbumike, and the proud owner of One Career Ejection that we have talked through today already. You got charged up reliving that.
Look, the thing is when those things happen, I still get mad because I know I did not deserve that, clearly. I mean, us athletes, we never commit any fouls, so I did not deserve an ejection, even though my first tech got rescinded. So, like, yeah, sorry, I'm still in my feels. I still need to hear your story eventually, okay?
All right, we're going to get
about when you got kicked out of practice.
We're going to get to that eventually. We're going to work through all that right now. We got plenty of time and space and all this. And so we're going to work through that after we talk to our next guest here now. All right, never mind. We're not going to talk to her right here and now, but we're going to be joined in a couple minutes by Cassidy Hubbard, who's going to join us live from the NBA bubble. She was there as a part of the broadcast for Nets, Raptors, and Mavs, Clippers yesterday, so she saw firsthand that Kristaps Porzingis ejection that's got so many of us in our feelings, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. That ejection, I think, changed the entire trajectory of the game. But can we talk, like, she covered the Toronto Raptors. Can we have a moment, please,
I know where
to
going.
Celebrate those family intro videos? Because we first saw it with the Suns, and now we saw it with the Raptors, and the real MVPs, obviously everyone was a winner, but Kyle Lowry's kids were so cute. Kyle Lowry. Oh, my gosh.
It was unbelievable. Like, if your family, and now I can say this to you because we had your sister NECA call yesterday, your father Peter, your family was all out there for your big first day. So they're riding that hard. We got families that ride. But, man, the new bar to clear is now Kyle Lowry's kids. Like, if you are not celebrating your people the way Kyle Lowry's kids celebrated their dad, why are we even out here playing?
For real. But even with the Suns, like, it started with them, so we have to give them credit considering we already, you know, heard from Monty Williams, and we have to put some respect on their name. But that was my favorite part of so far, like, the bubble. There have been so many funny videos, even Jamal Murray talking about Donovan Mitchell after he sees him in the bubble when he dropped 57. So to me, that was the best thing that brought me joy. My name is Chiney Joy, by the way, so I always like to highlight things that bring me joy. And yesterday was the Raptors and what they were able to do with the intro videos. And Kyle Lowry's kids, y'all the real MVPs of that first round.
Janae and Golic Jr. reminding you that the NBA playoffs are going to continue today on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Harden and the Rockets battle the Thunder, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And Janae, off the top, we started talking about the three MVP candidates are all in play today. James Harden and the Rockets, LeBron James and the Lakers. And we already saw the presumptive MVP favorite, Giannis Antetokounmpo, go down in a big way to the Orlando Magic here. Are you worried at all now as we look towards LeBron James in this Blazers matchup, one that we talked out about a lot more than anything with the Orlando Magic going into tonight?
If I'm the Lakers, I think you sort of hear these things happening. You want to stay focused on your game plan. But if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, oh, snap, we don't want to be like the Bucks, go down early in game one in the playoffs. And you want to start with the right momentum. Now, the Lakers have not been playing their best form of basketball. But LeBron James is still LeBron James. And what you're able to see with him is he's been able to sort of say, hey, like, I know I'm capable of having a big night, but more importantly, let me put my teammates first. I actually saw a quote that LeBron James said in which, you know, people were asking what will be needed for him to win a championship. LeBron gave a quote to our ESPN.com. In order for us to win a championship, Kuzma has to be their third best player. We can't win a championship if Kuzma does not play well. We already know Anthony Davis is a given. But Kyle Kuzma already being positioned as a piece for the Lakers' success in a season in which LeBron James is leading through giving and distributing and assists. So don't be surprised if we see, you know, Kyle Kuzma in there and LeBron looking for him. And also Danny Green, who we're lucky to have on the show yesterday, looking for his shooters to get them going, because that momentum, that hot streak, is really going to carry them a long way in the bubble.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing in all of this and the biggest difference, because what we've seen so far in a couple instances now, Giannis balled out today. It was something like 35-17 with 7 assists in the course of that. Donovan Mitchell throwing up a 50-burger the other night in a losing effort. Luka Doncic had 42 for the Mavs as they went down to the Clippers and all of that. These individual offensive performances, if they're not matched with quality minutes from your other players on this. And like you said, I think LeBron James being such a facilitator and having Kyle Kuzma coming off the end of his season where he was so successful, he was a part of a game-winning shot. He claims that he can get buckets over Jesus. Like, he is rolling in as confident as ever, and that's what you're going to need from those role players.
So we're a safe space, right? Like, two athletes that we come from locker rooms, we bring people in from locker rooms. We just had Monty Williams, the Phoenix locker room. We had two players, Danny Green and J.J. Redick from locker rooms. This show is a safe space, you guys. So I'm hoping that you guys protect me in this, that I'm going to read you some of my texts, right?
Ooh.
So after yesterday's game, I shot Donovan Mitchell a text. I was like, 57, bro, what? You know, I was like to gas my Adidas family, right? And it's not gas because it's 57 points. Everyone should respect that. He said, yeah, that's great, but we lost. That was literally his first reaction. So if you're looking at these teams, yeah, it's great to have these big individual performances, but Donovan feels very similar to Luka, who feels very similar to Giannis. Like, I can have this tremendous, huge game performance, but if we end up losing, what is the point? And so it's going to be a lot of auto-correcting in real time. If you look at Donovan Mitchell's performance yesterday, like, clearly they're missing pieces, Bogdanovich and even at Davis. And, like, there's so many people that, you know, you could sort of say, okay, maybe, like, this is not our time. No, they're going to take the reins themselves. And so, yeah, with the Lakers, they're looking around, and they don't want to be one of those teams that starts off with one loss, especially against a Trailblazer team that is coming in super hot, sizzling hot. Damian Lillard, 37 points in the bubble. These guys are you got veterans in Carmelo Anthony. CJ McCollum went off for, I think, 14 in the fourth quarter for 29 in the last, you know, quote unquote, like, elimination type of game feel. And so this is a team that I'd be worried about. And I'm also looking around the league saying, like, individual performances are not the end all be all. We have to do this all collectively together. And they're taking notes. And again, this is the amazing thing about being in the bubble. You're all together and you're looking at each other and you're sort of like, okay, this is real, and you have to take the right step forward right now.
You got to take the right step forward right now. It's Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, because if not, you mentioned you will get got by a team like the Red Hot Blazers, and don't let the heat of that be the only thing that blinds you. Let the heat of this take from Charles Barkley, who joined Mike Greenberg earlier on ESPN Radio, about what he predicts for the Blazers and the Lakers series blind you.
I'm still going with the Portland Trail Blazers.
To win the series.
To win the series, Now, LeBron, he's going to have to dominate the series because he's the only advantage they got. You know, I've been talking about Anthony Davis all year. He was going to be the key. But that's only if they play the Clippers, because they can match up with LeBron on the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George. They cannot match up with AD. So if they play the Clippers, AD's going to be the most important person. But with this Portland, the only way the Lakers are going to beat Portland if it's LeBron goes crazy, because they're going to really miss Trevor Ariza. But that being said, I'm still going with the Portland Trail Blazers.
Always a winding road with Charles Barkley to ultimately get home to the take. He has taken the Blazers in this series. You and I might not agree with that. We're going to talk to our good friend, one of ESPN's great NBA reporters, Cassidy Hubberth, here in a couple of minutes about what saw from yesterday, not only around the ejection, the cuteness of the Kyle Lowry video, but what we expect from the NBA stars tonight. That's all coming up next here on Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And let's head there now to welcome in our next guest from inside the NBA bubble. You see her all over our coverage of the NBA playoffs right now, including last night. She was around there for Nets Raptors, for Mavericks Clippers. She is our very own Cassidy Hubberth. Cassidy, how you doing?
Hey, Cass.
I mean, how am I doing? How are you two doing? First and foremost, can we just say congratulations to two of the most talented people at ESPN. It makes my heart just burst with happiness that you two have this show and together. I am just such big fans of both of you, and I could not be rooting for you two anymore.
I'm
thrilled to be with you.
I'm so teasing so hard because people don't really know this, but Cassidy is she's one of the best in the business. She literally took me under her wing, especially when I crossed over to NBA coverage, and taught me everything I know. Cassidy is just a gem, an angel. We love you. We appreciate you jumping on here. And she's also the host of Hoopstream. So she's like literally doing it all. She just came to the bubble and has pretty much taking it over. And Cassie,
I mean, this is the OG digital crew right here.
This is the OG.
Put some respect on that digital media.
Thank you. That part. That part. Cassidy, I know you were covering, you know, clearly the Mavs Clippers game. Kristaps gets ejected. What did you see that we couldn't from the broadcast?
Nothing. You guys saw what I saw. here's the thing. So, okay, I lied. This is what I saw. I knew what to expect, sort of, that the environment was going to be different, you know, and I was actually impressed with how good the pumped in noise was, and certainly from you know, watching it at home. But in person, it is quiet. There are quiet moments. And, you know, even throughout the game, even with the pumped in noise, but particularly in timeouts. And I say all this to just bring up the point that there was a lot of talking at the refs. And sometimes, you know, that talking, it's muted out by the crowd noise or the distractions of with all the stuff that's going on the court. Like, for instance, you know, in any game, there's like, you know, T-shirt guns, there's like bucket boys, all these things happening in timeout. So, you know, Steve Javy came on the broadcast yesterday and was saying, the reason why he got ejected, other than the fact that it was his second technical, is because he came in as an escalator. And then they, you know, the refs were trying to de-escalate the situation, not let the tensions build. But there is a lot of tension on that court, because it's really just raw emotion. There's not a lot of distraction other than, you know, the conversations on the court, the basketball. There's just a lot of new dynamics. And I guess that's really more so to answer your question, not to give an excuse for whether it was a right or wrong call. That's to answer your question of what I saw that you guys didn't see.
And that tension, I think, is worth noting. It's going to affect it in a lot of different ways that we're finding out here. But, Cassidy, some problems that are popping up early in this playoff run remain the same. You were there for the Raptors yesterday as they put it on the Nets. And we all watched today as Giannis and the Bucks took a very ugly loss to the Magic. From what you saw from the Raptors, do you have reason to believe they can be the team representing the East in the finals yet again this year?
They're just such a cohesive unit. I sat down with Kyle Lowry 2 days ago, and, you know, he is the heart and soul of this team, and in so many ways he represents the personality of this team, and a perpetual underdog who, you know, now is a proven champion. And there's this question of, do they have a go-to guy? But look, I mean, last night you had Fred VanVleet go off for an easy 30 with 8 threes, and they put up the most points that they've ever put up in a playoff game. That's coming off of their championship year. So this team is just gelling so well. And I mean, most people forget that they were here 2 weeks before everyone else was. And it's just from the leadership down. You know, I had a long conversation with Masai Ujiri, and just everything that they're doing with this team. They're on the same page. They believe in each other. Kyle was telling me, you know, how Nick Nurse is just this guy that they almost blindly just trust. He throws so many different defensive schemes, and Kyle was saying that it's all kind of instinctual in the moment, and the guys are just so bought into, you know, his way of leading, because it's a leading by committee, and, you know, that cohesiveness cannot be underappreciated when it comes to what kind of long journey this is to a championship, and especially guys who understand what kind of long, hard journey it is to the title.
Cassidy Hubbard, ESPN NBA host and reporter here with us on Today and Golic Jr. on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Cassidy, I know you had quality time with Kyle Lowry. I love that photo, so everyone make sure to follow Cassidy on social at Cassidy Hubbard. Have you had any experiences in the bubble that you normally wouldn't have, considering that everyone is together, just maybe watching a couple players or even interacting with a couple players outside of Kyle?
I mean, every experience in here is unlike any other experience I've ever had. It, like, I'm only a new resident of like 3 days. And then on top of that, I had, I mean, just my day yesterday alone, I mean, doing a playoff game is my dream come true professionally. And I had two in my first day back on the sidelines in 4 months. And on top of it, it was learning how to do socially distanced interviews. You know, those poor coaches, I mean, the NBA was like, you know, you can move in. You're 12 feet away, not six. I go, I don't know. I got to learn how to do the turn and scooch in. So, you know, poor Doc Rivers can hear what I'm saying. There's just, it's a lot to get used to. And as far as my interactions with players, it's hard because, like, this whole new world of where we're all wearing masks and you're walking around and everyone just says hi to each other because you don't want, you know, you don't know if it's that person you think it is. So you just say hi, but no one says each other's names. So the interactions, I mean, with players, I can, you know, tell who most of them are. But it's just 2020. I don't know how else to sum it up.
2020 indeed. Cassidy pulling up from distance on these interviews right now, still getting it done in a big way. But you mentioned Doc Rivers, the Clippers there. It looked shaky till down the stretch after that ejection from Kristaps, where they ultimately pulled ahead in all this. We know their roster's been a bit volatile because of guys having to leave the bubble for different reasons over the course of this. How much of an effect has that lack of continuity had on what you saw in game one from them?
Yeah, when I spoke to Paul George last night post-game, he said, yeah, we're a bit out of sync, but it's understood. You know, Doc Rivers said the same thing. This is not ideal. But, you know, I also sat down with Patrick Beverley over the weekend, and I asked him, you know, what gives you confidence that this team can come together? And at first, you were thinking, is this just like generic, hey, we're going to figure it out? But he described this team as a bunch of egoless guys who, you know, have their eye on the prize. And when you think about what, you know, the makeup of this team, they probably have the highest quota of big names, you know, on one roster. But it's guys who do kind of like shy away from the big spotlight. I mean, there's all this conversation of like, are we underappreciating Paul George? Like, you know, under like 16 months from when he was, you know, placed third in MVP voting. This is a team that has just elite talent, but what Patrick Beverley was saying is that they all have one common goal. Even though there's one ball, there's not a lot of ego. It really is they just want to win, and they'll figure it out. And I think if anything, Clippers fans should take away from that game how well Kawhi and Paul George are leading this team, because that's what they did down the stretch. They really picked each other up when they needed a bucket. It was almost like they were going back and forth, and it was almost silent. You didn't realize it. Kawhi got another bucket. I mean, they combined for 56 points last night, and then they got nice contributions from Marcus Morris. So, Montrezl Harrell hadn't played basketball for a month, and, you know, he got right back on the court. He didn't get out of quarantine yesterday, guys, until midday. And Doc Rivers was not happy about that because he was hoping he was going to be around for shoot around. They didn't understand why he had a 7-day quarantine, given that he had an excused absence. But, you know, he didn't play any basketball. They let him out of his room for like 30 minutes or so a day to run. But then he just got out on the court. So they're going to have to really gel. And, you know, the beginning of the playoffs and working out their kinks may not be the most ideal time, but they have enough talent to kind of fall back on.
They absolutely do. They're finding a way to make it work in the bubble, just like you are, Cassidy. You can follow her on Twitter, @CassidyHubberth, for plenty more updates of the NBA coverage that she's a part of for us. Cassidy, we'll talk to you very soon. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Cass.
Love you guys. Thank you.
An absolute legend.
She's
Cassidy Hubberth. She's the best. And plenty more NBA action to get everyone updated on. Heat Pacers are in the middle of that game. We'll get you updated on that. Plus, big news from one of the ACC's newest members about what's going on campus with there and how it all might affect what we expect to see not only this fall, but coming up this winter and spring from college athletics. We'll get to that next. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
The ever-changing world here at ESPN Radio. Chinay Ngolak Jr., Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Agwumike here. And you understand I'm a little flustered because my co-host just got out of her chair. I'm not sure where she went right now, but I'm sure it's for something very important because that's what Chinay operates in. And so instead, I'm going to get you updated on a couple of things around here because this is the beauty of being in this time slot right now, 4 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday, every week for you here. We're going to be 4 to 6 Eastern today, taking you up to all the NBA action that's going on tonight and everything you can look forward to there. But what we've seen in the world of college athletics is noteworthy, and it just got even more interesting. The University of Notre Dame, my alma mater, its president, Reverend John Jenkins, addressed the student body today, just a half hour ago at 5 o'clock Eastern, in the wake of a rash of new positive tests on campus there. As of noon today, and this is all per Notre Dame's own website, 147 people had tested positive among the 927 tested since August 3rd. None were hospitalized, and all but one, a staff member, were students. Most resided off-campus and were linked to off-campus gatherings where neither masks were worn nor physical distancing were observed. And so Notre Dame announced that until further notice, the following measures would be taken. Off-campus students should not visit campus, and on-campus students should refrain from leaving campus except under emergency circumstances. Student gatherings on or off-campus are restricted to 10 or fewer. All research labs, core facilities, and libraries will remain open to grad students, faculty, and staff. Their COVID response unit and testing center will all remain fully operational, and all students are reminded to keep doing their daily health checks, but all classes for the next 2 weeks will essentially operate online. It's essentially a two-week lockdown that Notre Dame will be going into relative to attending class in there. But as it pertains to the world of sports, varsity athletics that are subject to routine surveillance testing may continue to gather for sanctioned activities according to established protocols that will be closely monitored. So Notre Dame football, which is a part of the ACC, one of the conferences this year that is still playing and still going about their business, is going to be allowed to practice in all of this, and everything's going to go forward. But their campus receiving a rash of positive tests. Again, I think close to 89 tests almost in a day linked back to an off-campus party that are now changing the way we have to go about this going forward. Chenea and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. And this is the biggest worry in all of this when it comes to college athletics, because even now in doing that, and North Carolina had, I believe, 137 positive tests in four clusters that forced them to shut down their on-campus classes to go to online classes only. Their football and athletics department announced that they are going to proceed forward as they would before, understanding that they are now online-only classes and all of this. But you look at these situations and say, this is the university's chance to get a handle on this, to try and bubble in the way that we all wanted before on this. Remember, everyone said if you really wanted to, go forward with athletics this fall, do the things that were necessary in the best interest and the health and safety of the athletes. You would bubble them. You wouldn't bring students back to campus. You would keep them separate, but we know you'd have to start admitting some uncomfortable things that the NCAA and the Power Five don't want to about what those athletes are really here for. Now what gets complicated is you're trying to bubble on the fly with all the students back on campus. So what you've essentially done is brought a bunch of students back to campus, told them they're going to online-only classes and all this, and given them what? More free time to do what? Exactly what we've seen pictures of from every campus across the country. And this isn't just an ACC thing. We've seen plenty of pictures coming out from Auburn, from Alabama, schools all around the country showing all these people off campus. Big mass gatherings. College kids doing exactly the college kid thing in all of this situation here. That's to be expected. And so now you're just giving them more free time, and you expect any of this to get better for these conferences as they go forward, which makes it all the more complicated. And not only look at this fall, but everything that's to come on this. John Calipari, Kentucky men's basketball coach, was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and was already starting to talk about, thankfully, planning ahead the bubble potential for the NCAA tournament. Here was Coach Cal this morning.
Do we put in a bubble or a pod? Let's say Kentucky, Louisville, and Michigan State with three, quote, J. Will, bye games. Detroit, where my son plays. Murray State and East Tennessee State with us. And we play a round robin so that we can get the bye games where those teams really need that money. We can do that. Do we do it that way? Is the NCAA tournament in a bubble? I know Dan Gavitt right now is looking at all kind of different options. What I'm happy about is we're doing it now. We're not waiting till, 2 months from now saying, well, what do we do now? No, we're doing it now to try to figure it out. But we have a different path that the NBA and the WNBA have both shown us you can do this. Now do we figure out how we do it?
Speaking of the WNBA, we welcome back in Shanae Agumake here. You got the technical difficulties all worked out?
Look, what happened was last show, clearly you broke your mic, and then my mic literally just dropped. Like, we dropped the mic. And, yeah, so I'm back now. But it's good. And hearing Coach K, or Coach Calipari, just talk about how important it is to have the NCAA tournament, I think people understand that, largely because Duke's Coach K said that, you know, earlier today, the NCAA cannot afford to lose another NCAA tournament. Literally, this is the NCAA's biggest money maker. So, yes, you have a long runway to get it done. We've seen conferences already punt on, you know, football, moving it towards the spring. And now the NCAA, at least when it comes to basketball, has a plan to create this huge money maker, revenue generator, so that, you know, these players still get that one shining moment. Now, my question here is, shout out to recognizing the W and the NBA and creating these bubbles at work. My question here is, okay, say we have this huge bubble for the NCAA tournament, the March Madness tournament. That's great. But how do we seed those teams into that environment? Like, bubbles, I played in three Final Fours. And you already feel like you're in a bubble when you're playing in the Final Fours, meaning you are pretty much locked in your hotel. You barely see your family and friends. You're focused on the game. So this bubble is very similar to having maybe like 4, 8, 16 hotels that maybe only limited access to family and friends. Like, this is something that is not foreign in feel to the athletes that potentially could be playing in March Madness. But my question is, moving forward, how do you create an environment where there is seeding, or where you can have a conference tournament that predicates that whole, you know, entire journey? So I'm here for the bubble, and I think there's enough runway to figure out how to make it happen. The question is everything else in practicality.
Yeah, and that's the tough part in this, is we say there's enough runway, but it felt like that when we were having discussions with coaches and ADs 5 months ago about football, and very little changed in that time period, and we clearly seen a lot of failed leadership along the way. We know the virus is going to dictate a lot of that, because I'm with you. I think the NBA and the WNBA showed you can bubble for some of these big events, but it continues to put college athletics, meaning the Power Five and the NCAA, of the uncomfortable position of saying, well, yeah, we can hopefully bubble for a tournament, but how do we get there in a way that doesn't show completely this is just about getting all the money, that this continues to separate athletes from their peers as students in ways that make it even more painfully obvious exactly what's going on. So I want to hold on to that energy, and I want to keep it, Shanae, because we got to keep it 100% real about what's going on with the NCAA and college athletics, and keep that same energy about everything else that we've seen that's given us life in the world of sports. We're going to hit all that coming up next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Big thank you to Phoenix Suns head coach Monty Williams, our very own Cassidy Hubbard, all for stopping by and joining us today. But Shanae, in addition to taking people into the locker room, we got a job around here. We got to give people energy, right?
We have to.
It is our job. It is what we're here for on your ride home. And so, without further ado, we figure everyone needs to keep that same energy. We're going to highlight some of the people that give us energy along the way. Cliff, let's hit it. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Shanae and Golic Jr.
I don't know if we could say energy enough times in a 30-second
right?
span there. It is.
But we're going to try to top it.
We are going to try and top it. Shanae and Golic Jr. is brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking new longer. Shanae, let's try and top it right now. You're up first. What do you got?
Let's go. Sending good energy to Gordon Hayward. Just when Boston had things figured out, Gordon Hayward is sidelined once again. In the first game of the playoff series yesterday versus the 76ers, Gordon injured his ankle and is likely out for 4 weeks. Now, this is a man that has battled back from dislocating his left ankle and fracturing his left tibia in that huge opening game matchup of the 2017 season. Now this year, he is more comfortable than ever. He's a glue scorer for the Celtics, and now he's finally finding his stride, and then got hit with another injury on the sidelines. He was averaging 18-7-4, shooting 38% from three. In games where he scored over 20 points, the Celtics went 15-6, so sending him good energy for a speedy recovery.
Absolutely. Want to see the best for a guy who's been through so much already and has been doing so well for a team everyone is excited to watch in the Eastern Conference playoff. I want to celebrate some great energy that we're seeing. out of a group. They've gone by many names, whether it's Every Day Should Be Saturday, the Banner Society. You can see them now with their Moon Crew newsletter. Holly Anderson, Spencer Hall, a lot of the names that you've seen, some of the best college football writers on Twitter, raising monies for New American Pathways, a group that helps refugees as they come into the state of Georgia, raising through the college football community in the Every Day Should Be Saturday Charity Bowl over $450,000 for New American Pathways there. So in addition to being some of the best and brightest minds and voices on the world of college football and never telling any jokes in the process, they have also raised a tremendous amount of money for a great cause.
That's so impressive. That's so impressive. Now, Junior, I feel like we're in a good relationship, right? A good work relationship.
Oh, yeah. It feels good. It's a good. Okay. We got a good thing going here right now.
Now, when James Harden was asked about the breakup between him and Chris Paul impacting the upcoming playoff series, Harden said, quote, "I am trying to win games in a playoff series, period." He didn't say period, but I put it in there. Keep that same energy, James Harden, because the task is so much taller now without Russell Westbrook. Both teams have identical records, 44-28. Now, the Brody, Russell Westbrook, has been a huge boost for the Rockets. He's giving you 28-7-8, the Batman to James Harden's Batman. So for the young girl who grew up in the CYP Cypress, Texas, at 281-713-832, James Harden, keep that same energy that got you looking extra good in quarantine, because he knows the task ahead. Now, this is where we show our love right here, okay? If you're a real one, I need you to finish this for me. 281-330-8004.
Yes! Hit Mike Jones up on the low. Mike Jones about to blow. Come on.
I knew we were destined for greatness with our relationship.
Exactly. I can say the connection is seamless, flawless, and pure right here on Chiney and Golic Jr. Reminding you, by the way, to check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. All right, if we can top a Mike Jones reference somehow, I think I only know one way to do it.
Wait, who?
Mike Jones.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The best, by the way, the best thing that ever happened to me was calling a college football game where we had a Mike Jones on the field, and I got to drop very overt Mike Jones references into the broadcast.
For it.
All day, every day. But this last one, Chiney, I feel like the energy out of the bubble that we need to keep, and I know this started with the Suns, but Kyle Lowry's kids, again, if you missed it last night for the Raptors' first-round playoff game against the Nets, they did the starting lineups introduced by the friends and family of the players from the Raptors. And Kyle Lowry's two kids getting up there and introducing their dad with the Lowry.
Yes, Lowry.
And you saw Kyle Lowry beaming, smiling so wide on here. Chiney, if that is not the support we are getting from our collective families around this show going forward, we got to cut them off. We got to cut them off.
We really do. We really do, because we love our families, and we both have shed a tear most recently when our families surprise us and really do the most. So yeah, that's the same energy we need to keep for each other. But more importantly, it was inspiring to see that with Kyle Lowry. It started with the Suns, but I like the Toronto Raptors picking it up.
It was incredible stuff from them. So please, everyone, keep that same energy heading into the day right
here. How much time do we have?
Oh, well, we got time enough for me to ask you a question, but do you have another
No. Okay. I don't have that. Right. The only energy I have left is finding out how you got ejected from practice. We talked about it all show long.
Oh, so you want to know the best part about this?
What?
I didn't actually get ejected from practice. I made that up to
really,
get you
guys?
Out of the, I got somebody else ejected from
practice. Look, this relationship's not going to work. He's lying to me already.
Listen, I was going to say, I don't want to give you trust issues, but at the same time, things have to happen in the middle of the course of the show for me to move things along here. So, are you going to throw the book at me? Like, what's happening here right now? Did you get something stolen?
I'm trying to figure
you?
Out if, like, I need to get the love languages book out here just so that you can understand, like, lying is not my love language. And I got so excited, and you built me up to tear me right down to tell me that never happened. But I guess it's a good thing because you're a good guy. So
exactly. Listen, we're going to work through our love languages on the show. We know one of yours is berating officials to the point of getting ejected from a game like Kristaps Porzingis. So we had to keep
Listen,
it happens every once in a while. It's okay. We work through it on the show. That's what we're going to do. We're going to work through problems. Maybe revisit some good ones.
I have so much love for you. I have so much love for the game. Tell me what's going on right now, because on ESPN, I'm sure there are a lot of, like, what's going on with the Heat? What's the latest?
So we're going to get the latest on that one right now. The Heat are up 5 points on the Indiana Pacers in the middle of this game. First round Eastern Conference Series. We saw the Bucks already go down and get toasted big time. And we got two other MVP candidates in action tonight in James Harden and LeBron James and all this. So real quick, Chiney, you got about 10 seconds. You think either of them go down?
No.
That's a big no from both of us here. Both the MVP candidates hold form tonight. Obviously, the Rockets, the Lakers in action. Plenty to keep an eye on. Coming up next on ESPN Radio, coverage of the Rockets and Thunder with Mark Kestecher and John Barry.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.